Our readings for tonight. The first one is from the book of Proverbs. All our steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can we understand our own ways? Our reading from the Gospel of John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." And finally, these words from 1 Corinthians. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tonight our speaker is Sandy McMurdy. So glad to have her share her story with us. Sandy, as she'll tell you, she's a farm girl, grew up a little east of here. She married one of my confirmation students here. She works for the state. Her job is publicity. As she says it, she gets to be a paid cheerleader for the state of North Dakota. I hate to admit it, but she was the only person I've ever negotiated with for her membership at this church. She was came here with her husband and her family for many, many years and was part of this church. And when we were forming a call committee to find Pastor Paul, we asked her to be on it. And she said, "Well, I'm not a member of the church. Can I be on it?" And I said, "You're not a member of the church." And we needed to do a nice little publicity piece on our church, really selling our congregation to any prospective pastor. And I knew she had gifts at it. And I said, "Will you do this?" And she just said, "Yes, if you'll make me a member." So it was well worth it.
It was.
Sandy McMurdy.
It was, and if I could have found the certificate that you signed for me, I would have brought it. He actually gave me a certificate that said I was an official member. Good evening, everyone. When Trinity asked me to come and speak to you and share my story, I had two thoughts. The first one was, sure, I'd love to help, and the second was faith story. Where am I going to get one of those? I'd really never thought about what my faith story was or what my journey that had impacted my faith looked like. And so I had to really kind of stroll back through my experiences and figure out what it was that my faith really meant to me. And so tonight I'm choosing to share three stories with you. And I've given each of them a title so you can kind of follow your way along as we're telling them. And so the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is how I believe that questioning is okay, but understanding is optional. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how preparation isn't just for dinner. And then finally we're going to talk about how my faith is a lot like a puppy. And that one's going to make a lot more sense when we get there, so bear with me. As Pastor Steve said, my faith really began in a small town. I grew up in Grace Lutheran Church in Driscoll, North Dakota, just east of here. And like many small town kids, going to church and the church life became my social life. From Sunday school to Luther League, being able to go in town and get off the farm. And I worked on a dairy farm, so it was great to get away from the cows. So going into church was my social life, and it was my first experience with friends and a place away from home. So whether it was church gatherings or Sunday school or Luther League lock-ins, I looked forward to sharing those experiences with my friends, and those were all wrapped in my faith, which was really exciting as well. As an eighth grader going through confirmation, I had a lot of questions about faith, and I didn't think I was getting all of that maybe from confirmation, and so I wanted some answers. And I had a wonderful cousin who happened to live in Montana, and she came to visit, and her name was Rhonda. And cousin Rhonda was a born-again Christian, and I had no idea what that meant, because I knew you could only be born once, but I thought it meant she liked to talk about God, and she was happy to talk about it with me. And so Rhonda offered to be my pen pal. And so throughout eighth grade, I was a pen pal back and forth with her and wrote her lots of questions, riveting questions, deep, burning issues of faith. Things like, do I have to kneel when I pray? If I don't finish within Jesus' name, does it count? If I forget to say amen, does he hear it? I mean, things that were important stuff, right? Well, Rhonda was wonderful. She answered all these crazy questions and really gave me permission to have a conversation with God. I was so worried at that age whether if I was doing it right or not, and she really said, don't worry about that. Just talk to God. You can have a conversation. It doesn't need to have all the formal stuff around it. That's nice if you remember, but just talk to him. He wants to hear from you. And so she gave me permission to do that. And she did one other thing that was pretty cool to me. She sent me this Bible. And in and of itself, it may not be much different from any other Bible. I already had one from the church, but I was scared to death of it. The pages were paper thin, and I was awfully klutzy, and I was pretty sure I was going to rip it, and that was bad. And so when she sent me this one, it had tape in the inside, which meant it was used. And so that was cool to me. And it had red letters in it, which told me everything that Jesus actually said that was recorded in the Bible. And so I thought that was cool because I could go find the stories that I had heard in Sunday school or heard in confirmation in the Bible. And then she did one thing that I thought was so very odd, and any self-respecting Lutheran girl at that age wouldn't have done it, but she wrote in it. She wrote in it with red marker. Ooh, sorry. This Bible's so old, it's a two-part Bible. She wrote in it with red pen and yellow highlighter, and I thought that was so crazy, because who would write in a Bible? I was pretty sure I would have gotten trouble. But she went through and she had highlighted a lot of passages in Proverbs for me, because a lot of my questions dealt with stuff that came from there. And she happened to highlight the one you heard today, Proverbs 24:20. Since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? And that verse turned out to be one of my all-time favorites and kind of my go-to verse throughout life so far. Good times or bad, whether I had an injury or an illness, I could say, you know what, I shouldn't question this. Or I can question this, but God will get me through it. And if I had a crummy boyfriend who didn't deserve me anyway, I thought, that's okay. God's leading me down a different path. That's a good thing. And so it reminded me that it was okay to question. I could ask questions about what was happening to me, but understanding that was pretty optional. I wasn't always going to know what God's path was for me. And that's why I had to use my faith to trust that God had a plan that I didn't know about, and that maybe that was the right plan for me. And so I want us all to think about that, that God has a plan for us, and it's okay to question that. But we don't have to understand it. So on to my next story. Why is preparation not just for dinner? Well, when my husband and I first got married, we, like any young couple, were excited to start a family. And we were really blessed to end up with three beautiful children. And if you happen to come to 8:30 services on Sundays, you'll know that we're blessed some days a little more than others. But altogether blessed. And when we expected our first child, we were filled with excitement. You don't know what to expect or what's coming, and pretty soon we had this beautiful baby boy. And shortly after his birth, we learned that he had Down syndrome. And we weren't quite sure what that meant for us. It was a shock, to say the least. It came with some fear about what the future would hold. It came with some grief about the baby we thought we were going to have but didn't end up with. And it came with the joy of the beautiful baby that we had in front of us. And so it was a confusing time. And there's this great story that somebody wrote. It's called Welcome to Holland. And it's a wonderful story for for new parents of children with a disability or special needs. And it goes something like this. A man wants to go to Italy. He's waited his whole life to go to Italy. So he gets on the plane and he flies off, lands at the airport, and as he's coming off the plane, somebody looks at him and says, "Welcome to Holland." And he says, "Holland? I didn't want to go to Holland. I want to go to Italy." And they said, "Well, you're in Holland. Welcome to Holland." And he was a little angry for a while because he didn't want to be in Holland and he didn't really want to see what Holland had to offer. But as he walked around and visited the sites and got to know people in Holland, he really liked it there. And that's kind of what the experience that we had was. We weren't sure that we wanted a child who was chromosomally enhanced. Like, what were we going to do? We didn't know for sure how we would handle that. But we never doubted that we could, because we knew that we were going to be able to. And we used to laugh. We talked before we had children, what if we had a child with special needs, and we were ready. We thought we were ready. And we kind of went back to the point when we were dating. And my husband would laugh because if we were out at the mall or if we were in Fargo visiting friends and somewhere where there was a public place, if there was a group of individuals with special needs or a group home that was out, they would always come up and find me and give me hugs and talk to me. And I think it was because I was approachable. And I think, I didn't realize it, but I think now, I didn't realize it before I had my son Christian, but I think God had been preparing me my whole life and I never realized it. See, when I was young, I mentioned Rhonda, my cousin. She had a daughter that was the exact same age as me. And Rhonda's daughter, Cindy, and I loved to play together. But Cindy has cerebral palsy. She's never walked. Her muscles don't respond to her brain in the way that they should. And so she doesn't have the mobility that she'd like. Her hands are folded back in on herself, and she has a hard time speaking. But Cindy is quick as a wit. And we just love to talk and play games together. And I warn you, if you ever meet her, she cheats at cards. And if you don't expect it, she will kick your butt, just like she did my husband's the first time she played cards with him. And then there was my cousin Eddie. Eddie had something happen to him very young in life, and he had his legs amputated just below his hips. But Eddie ran faster than anybody I'd ever known, and he didn't have legs, and he could do cartwheels and cool stuff that nobody else could do, and I didn't know any difference, so that was normal for him. And then we have my Uncle Sonny, my mother's twin brother. Uncle Sonny is disabled. He is developmentally disabled. But he was my absolute favorite adult. He would come and visit, and he didn't care what the other adults were doing. He'd play games with us and go on bike rides and do all the things the kids wanted to do. And it was so fun because we had somebody who we thought was an adult with us all the time who was just so cool. And so as I look back, I can tell you, preparation isn't just for dinner. It's for all of us. And God works through each of us in each other's lives to prepare us for what's ahead. When the birth of my son Finn came, and the birth of my daughter, Parker, I was prepared in different ways by different people. And I think about our second verse today from John, and it says that God's works are revealed in us, no matter what our ability. And I look at my life and see that very strongly, and I'm very blessed by it. And I have to tell you one of my other favorite blessings. Whenever Pastor Paul or Pastor Steve do the prayers for the church, they say a line about, "Let us pray for all Christians." And every time that happens, my son Christian typically leans forward and goes, "Like me!" And I feel blessed. So we know we can question, but understanding is optional. We know that preparation isn't just for dinner. And so now I'd like to tell you how my faith is like a puppy. See, I know I'm a sinner. I try really hard to be prayerful, but I'm a mom, so if I stop, I just fall asleep. So it's really hard for me to stop and be prayerful. So I pray on the go. I pray in the car, I pray in the shower, I pray taking walks, I pray typing at my computer, because that's how I get it done and fit into my day. And it's the way I start the conversation with God. And I try to be prayerful at bedtime as well, but I'm pretty sure I suffer from ADPD, attention deficit prayer disorder, because every time I start, it goes a little like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Did I get the laundry out? I don't know, is it in the washing machine? I should probably fold that. What am I going to make for dinner tomorrow night? Wait. Our Father, bread. I wonder if we have bread for school tomorrow. Do we have that at house? And I maybe go through the Lord's Prayer 2-3 times before I actually make it through it. And some nights I fall asleep before I ever get to the end. And I'm pretty sure I forget amen lots of times, but Rhonda told me that's okay, so I think I'm all right. But it reminds me that practice makes perfect. Even though I don't always get through those prayers, I've been practicing how to. And so I'm going to share a life experience with you that kind of shook my world, and that'll kind of demonstrate that. In 2008, I'd taken a new job. As Pastor Steve said, I was working at the North Dakota Department of Commerce, a paid cheerleader for the state of North Dakota, and loving it. And I was sitting there talking with my IT person, and I had a piece of paper in this hand, and we were having a conversation, when all of a sudden I realized the words that my ears were hearing didn't sound like the words that I thought I was speaking. And as I sat there talking to him, I finally looked at the person I was speaking with and said, "Is something wrong? Do I sound funny?" And he was white as a sheet. And he looked at me and he said, "Something's wrong. I'm getting help." And at that moment, I looked over for the piece of paper I was holding in my hand and realized it was laying on the floor. And my hand had fallen lifeless along the left side of my body. And it turned out that my face had been slumping and that I was having a mini stroke or a TIA. And in that moment, I reached over and I tried to make my mind move my arm, but I couldn't. So I grabbed my arm with my other hand and I brought it to my chest. And when it hit my chest, my fingers contracted. And I remember vividly thinking, "Dear Lord, I want very much to go home and see my family and watch them grow, but I don't know what your plan is, so I'm giving it to you." And I did. And I'm strengthened by the fact that I found prayer in that moment, because I knew that Jesus and God would help me carry it. And so that experience made me appreciate everything more. I appreciate everyday breathing. I think it is another day blessed. And I know that every step of the way in all these journeys, and even those, the church has been with me. And by the church, I mean all of you. And that's why I think my faith is a lot like a puppy. You see, my faith needs care and feeding. I need to take it for walks. And I know that if I do it right, it will give me unconditional love. I like this story. I like that the story has brought me to all of you. You are a part of my faith story. Whether it's in volunteer roles I've had at the church, on committees, like the call committee when I won my membership, or even having coffee or talking to you during Lent. You help me grow my faith, and I see God and Jesus' works reflected in all of you. So tonight I leave you where we began, and I invite you to question, but know that understanding is optional, and trust in your faith that God has a plan for you. And I ask you to remember that preparation isn't just for dinner, and that we should thank God often for sending us people like you to help prepare all of us in our faith journey. And in the end, I want you to know that you are part of the care and feeding that is my faith, and I encourage you to all be a part of the care and feeding of each other's. And as I leave you, I want to give you one last favorite verse because I think it is true for all of us. So from Psalm 139, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Thank you.
Please stand as we continue in song.